Thank you very much for being here today at Piedmont Park Seventh-day Adventist Church. It didn't pass my notice this week that the teams that have made it through to the Super Bowl final, the Denver Broncos and the Seattle Seahawks, they're from the states where it's legal to buy marijuana now, right? Colorado and Washington. Does that mean everybody's going to be happy? We'll see. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer before we begin this morning, shall we? Father in heaven, we've just heard those words, worthy is the Lamb. Worthy is the Lamb. And we're here this morning because we're totally unworthy, and you are the one that is worthy to receive our honor and our glory and our praise and our thanks. So, Lord, this morning we pray that you will comfort those who are afflicted, and also that you will afflict those who are comfortable. We pray this morning that we can hear your words coming through loud and clear, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. I wouldn't say towards the end of last year I was burnt out, but I was feeling pretty tired and pretty dry. I think sometimes, as you know it, when you commit your life to following the Lord, It's not all mountaintop, is it? You know, it's mountaintop and valley experiences, sometimes at the same time. And so I realized, coming towards the end of the year, that I needed some spiritual CPR. I needed Christ's power to resurrect me. Do you need a resurrection this morning? Well, I've got good news for you. The God we worship and the God we serve is the one that can turn crucifixions into resurrections. And so I pray this morning as we look at this wonderful chapter in the book of John, John chapter 11, where we're going to read through the story of Lazarus. One of Jesus' closest friends here when he walked these dusty pathways here on our earth. I have a question for you before we begin today, and that's, does God play favorites? Does God play favorites? Are there some people, and are you one of them? Are there some people that God gets very close to and develops a very close friendship with? I was reading this week through a classic book on the life of Jesus Christ. It's called Desire of Ages. And I read through in the opening paragraphs of the chapter on this particular story. Listen as you hear these words that are written there. It says this. It says, the Savior blessed all who sought his help. Aren't you glad for a Savior like that? The Savior blessed all who sought his help. He loves all the human family. Yes, he does. But listen to this. But to some, he is bound by peculiarly tender associations. Is that you this morning? Is that you this morning? Is that me this morning? That we are bound to our Savior by peculiarly tender associations. Let's play a game of opposites to begin with this morning. If I was to say something like driving on the right-hand side of the road, you would say driving on the, did I hear left or wrong? Driving on the left-hand side of the road is the correct answer. And kids, you can play this game with us as well. If it's what's the opposite of cold? You like the new furnace? And if there's cold and there's hot, what's in between? What about the opposite of darkness? Light. What about the opposite of anxiety? Peace? Trust? What's the opposite of fear? I heard someone say faith, I think. What's the opposite of fear?
Courage.
What's the opposite of unbelief? Belief or faith? And the opposite of death. And the opposite of sickness? Health. I'm convinced, and my careful study over the last 5 or 6 years in particular, that God's plan for each and every one of us, from the young kids that are amongst us to those with the shining gray hair, that it's God's plan for our lives to be healthy in all of the arenas of life, in our spiritual health. God wants us to be healthy in our spiritual lives, mentally, in our minds, in the deepest recesses of our minds. God wants us to be healthy. What about in our physical sphere? Does God also want us to be healthy in our physical sphere? Or is it okay for me to be a flabby pastor? What about in our what about in the emotional sphere as well? We could sense there, couldn't we, that Steve Duden doesn't like hugs. What about in our emotional health and well-being? Does God want us to be healthy in our emotions? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. God's plan for us to have us healthy and not sick. What about in our relational sphere? What about our relational sphere, our marriages and our interaction with our children and of our parents and our grandparents and extended family as well? Does God want us to be healthy in those areas too? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. And what about the financial areas of our life as well? This is taking me a real step of faith to say this one, because I calculated that since coming here to minister, our family's been losing probably about $1,000 every month. Does God want us to be financially healthy? Yes, He does. Yes, He does. And as we faithfully give of our tithes and our offerings, I was amazed at those figures that Steve shared this morning. Keep giving. Sometimes it does hurt, I know. And we're very grateful for the support that you give this church in your tithes and offerings. And I know it seems sometimes that we always seem to be behind. We're very grateful and thankful for all that's been given in those particular areas. And I can still say that in that area, God is faithful. He's the one that can turn sickness and death and crucifixions into resurrections. He's the God of change and transformation. There are 7 miraculous signs, well, 8 if you include the death and the resurrection of Jesus as well, in the Gospel of John. In the Gospel of John, there are 7 wonderful, miraculous signs in the Gospel of John. It begins in John chapter 2 in the place of Cana, where Jesus graces probably what is one of the most happiest and joyful human occasions that we all experience, and that's a wedding. Remember, Jesus turned the water into wine to let us know, friends, that whatever Jesus touches always tastes better. In John chapter 4, Jesus again is in Cana, and someone comes to visit from Capernaum. It's a royal official whose son is severely sick. And from 20 miles away, Jesus says the word, and the official's son is healed. Jesus can still heal from a distance. The third miraculous sign in the book of John is found in John chapter 5, and it's a remarkable story. It's a man that's been disabled, incapacitated for 38 years. That's a long time. But it's not an impediment to the healing power of Jesus, and Jesus heals on the spot. Says to the man, get up, pick up your bed, and walk. The fourth miraculous sign in the book of John is the one that's recorded in all four Gospels, and that's the feeding of the 5,000. Do you feel sometimes in our world today that you don't have enough to go around? Now that there's people in our congregation that are facing severe financial difficulties, I'd encourage you, bring your 5 loaves and your 2 fish to Jesus and watch him multiply them for you too. The fifth miraculous sign in the book of John is Jesus walking on the water. Now, I had a taste of this about a month or 6 weeks ago when Holmes Lake, and it probably still is, was completely frozen. And myself and I think a couple of our sons were out for a Sabbath afternoon walk, and we walked out right into the middle of the lake, and it felt good to walk on the water. But I can assure you, in the Sea of Galilee that dark night, it wasn't frozen. Jesus walked 3 miles, 3.5 miles out to encourage and comfort his struggling disciples. The sixth miraculous sign in the book of John is the healing of a blind man who is blind from birth. God has the ability to track back and restore and revive powers that have laid dormant for a long time in our lives. And we can praise him for that. And then the seventh miraculous sign is found in John chapter 11. We're going to have a look through this passage, not just today, but when I preach again in March and when I preach again in February, we're going to be hearing this story again. And so this is called From Sickness to Resurrection. Lazarus, part 1. So if you have your Bibles with you today, open them up. Maybe if you haven't brought one with you, grab a pew Bible. If you have it on your iPad or on your iPod or on your smartphone, just open it up quickly and click on John chapter 11. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 16 we're going to read today. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. Do you need some kind of a resurrection this morning in your spiritual life, in your emotional life, in your physical life, in your financial life? Whatever it might be, Jesus is here again for you. John chapter 11, verses 1 through 16. And I'm going to be in the New International Version this morning. Now, a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. And this Mary whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped his feet with her hair. So the sisters sent word to Jesus, "Lord, the one you love is sick." When he heard this, Jesus said, "This sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it." And again in verse 5, Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he, Jesus, stayed where he was 2 more days. And then verse 7, then Jesus said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." "But Rabbi," they said, "a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and yet you are going back there?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? A man who walks by day will not stumble, for he sees by this world's light. It is when he walks by night that he stumbles, for he has no light." After Jesus had said this, he went on to tell them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up." His disciples replied, "Lord, if he sleeps, he will get better." Jesus had been speaking of his death, but his disciples thought he meant natural sleep. So then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. And for your sake, I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Then Thomas, called Didymus, said to the rest of the disciples, "Let us also go. Let us also go, that we may die with him." This is an amazing passage of scripture in John's Gospel. Chapter 11 contains the story of the resurrection, the death and the resurrection of Lazarus. And it's clear as John communicates this story, this narrative to us, that this is the event that precipitates his own death and resurrection. And here in this chapter, where it seems that the circumstances are completely out of control in Bethany, Jesus is biding his time. You see, his hour had not yet come, but it was coming soon. And it was through this miracle, this wonderful miracle, raising a person that had been dead for 4 days back to life again, that if there was any Jew left in Palestine that had a heart that was somehow open, they would see from this miracle that Jesus really was who he said he was. And the thing that they would do would be to place their faith and their trust in him implicitly. It was the great 19th century missionary to China, James Hudson Taylor, who said these words, "Trials afford God a platform for his working in our lives. Without them, without trials, I would never know how kind, how powerful, and how gracious God is." There was a young girl who was 17 years old. Maybe you've heard her story or read her story. Her name was Johnny Erickson. And at the age of 17, whilst vacationing in California, I understand, she dived into what she thought was a deeper pool of water, but actually it turned out to be quite shallow. And she ended up in a coma with spinal injuries and became, for the rest of her life, a quadriplegic, chained, if you like, through those unfortunate circumstances to a wheelchair. But this is a quote from Johnny Erickson Tada. Only faith in God can bring forth fruit like this in a life. I do not care if I'm confined to this wheelchair for the rest of my life, provided from it I can bring glory to God. There's an idea that floats around out there that if you have faith in Jesus, if you have faith in God, everything will be sunshine and roses. It's unrealistic, friends. And we find out from this story that one of the closest friends of Jesus, this time in the Gospel of John, is surrounded by his enemies. It's a hostile environment for Jesus. And one of the things that Jesus loved to do when he was visiting Jerusalem was to stay as a guest in this house in Bethany. Here he could speak plainly. Here his words wouldn't be twisted or misunderstood. And so Jesus had a peculiarly tender association with this household. But Lazarus was sick in verse 1. And we know from the rest of the story that Lazarus just wasn't sick. He was very sick. He was terminal. And death was knocking at the doorstep of this household. And then I love verse 2. Because John's gospel was the last one that was written, probably in the mid-90s AD. And so the story of Matthew and the story of Mark and the story of Luke were already filtering their way around the first century Roman Empire. And so John puts this in. He's not even going to tell us this story until another chapter, but he puts this in. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who performed that extravagant act where the disciples said, "Why this waste?" It was no waste. And that was carefully planned, that act, prompted by the Holy Spirit. Verse 3, so the sisters sent word to Jesus. Now that's our first marker, if you like, for when things go wrong in our lives. I felt last year that I was getting tired of the circumstances that I was having to face, immigration issues and some other issues as well. Send word to Jesus. Lift up a prayer. And if you can't even have the strength to lift up a prayer for yourself, go and speak to someone else and ask them to pray for you. The sisters sent word to Jesus, and can you see in the words that were chosen by the messenger how confiding, how confident, how trusting these sisters were in their friend Jesus? Lord, the one you love is sick. Friends, that's the beginning point for any healthy Christian relationship. The love of God. The love of God for us. Sin-sick sinners. And I've learned through the years of my Christian experience, if you want a revelation of Jesus Christ, you're going to have to take a revelation of yourself. And sometimes that revelation isn't very pretty. But sometimes, if we don't know how sick we are, we won't go and find help. There was an old man that my mother-in-law used to faithfully take care of in London. He was, probably in his early 80s, and he prided himself that he'd never seen a doctor ever in his life. And now he was sick. And as he lived, so he died. Without medical attention and without medical help. And so, friends, this morning, it's God's plan, it's God's purpose for us to be healthy in all areas of our life, spiritual, mental, physical, emotional, relational, and financial. And if one of those areas of your life or more is dying, do what these sisters did. Send word to Jesus and tell him the one you love is sick. Verse 4, when he heard this, Jesus, and here's another marker here, hang on sometimes in your life to the words of Jesus. Hang on to them. Verse 4, this sickness will not end in death, said Jesus. Was he right or was he wrong? The sickness will not end in death. Well, it ended up with sleep. In this passage, friends, it's very, very clear, and it has a harmonious position throughout the whole of the Scriptures, that death, for those who trust in Jesus, is just asleep. Jesus said, I'm going to Lazarus, he's fallen asleep, and I'm going to wake him up. Do you need a resurrection? No, said Jesus. These circumstances have happened, and maybe circumstances are happening in your life right now that God wants to use and transform into glorification for him. You know, friends, God wants to use your sickness and your mess so that he can speak his message through you. When Jesus heard this, he said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. And I wonder when those sisters heard those words, because Jesus didn't come with those words, the messenger came back with those words, whether that provided some hope for this family to hold on to. Do you need hope this morning? Well, hang on to the words of Jesus. This sickness will not end in death. But sometimes things in our lives have to die before God resurrects something better. Verse 5 is a very important verse in understanding subsequent events. Verse 5 says that Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Friend, are you still doubting this morning that God loves you and wants what's best for you? If you judge God's love by the circumstances that happen to you in your life, you'll be all over the place. But if you trust in God's goodness and his love for you, despite how things look on the outside, and despite how they feel on the inside, be rooted and grounded in your Christian experience with the love of God. Did he not display enough for us when he hung on Calvary's cross, every blood, sweat, and tears was to prove without a shadow of doubt, friend, that he loves you. And so verse 6, when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was 2 more days. I think those were a difficult 2 days for Jesus. What do you think? I think that was a difficult 2 days for Jesus. It's hard to be away from friends and from family when illness and difficulty strikes. Again, from Desire of Ages, sorrow entered the peaceful home where Jesus had rested. Lazarus was stricken with a sudden illness, and his sisters sent to the Savior saying, Lord, behold, he whom you love is sick. They saw the violence of the disease that had seized their brother, but they knew that Jesus had shown himself able to heal all manner of diseases. I want you to catch this, folks, because this is where a lot of Christian disappointment comes in. Listen to these next few lines. They believed that Jesus would sympathize with them in their distress, and he did. Therefore, they made no urgent demand for his immediate presence, but sent only the confiding message, "He whom you love is sick." They thought that he, Jesus, would immediately respond to their message and be with them as soon as he reached Bethany. Why does God allow delays to come into our life? Here we are, friends, as Seventh-day Adventists, waiting, expectantly waiting for the coming, second coming of Jesus Christ in all of his glory. And we know that he's coming with all of his glory and all of the glory of the angels. How are you doing in the waiting process? Are you dying? Well, I have good news for you that Jesus can resurrect you. As we wait for Jesus to come, I wonder sometimes if this story, written and framed by the Holy Spirit, all of the glory of the angels. How are you doing in the waiting process? Are you dying? Well, I have good news for you that Jesus can resurrect you. As we wait for Jesus to come, I wonder sometimes if this story, written and framed by the Holy Spirit through John in his gospel, is a picture of the church just before Jesus comes in all of his glory. And that we're like a flailing man who's drowning, wanting to get to the surface for breath. Is Jesus going to allow his church to die before he comes? Is he going to perform another resurrection, like the resurrection of Lazarus, before he comes? A revival, a reformation, bringing us together, drawing us together in Christian unity with our other brothers and sisters in Christ out there? I wonder. Elizabeth Talbot, in her book, Jesus 101, John, God Made Flesh, said this about God's delays. Maybe you're facing a delay right now. Maybe you've prayed for something for years. Maybe something in those arenas of our lives, arena of your life, has died and you need a resurrection. God can provide you. I'm convinced of that with a resurrection. Listen to this. Elizabeth Talbot says this in her book. Delays are designed to show the magnitude of the miracle. Delays are designed to show the magnitude of the miracle. And we'll find out next time why Jesus delayed going immediately to Bethany to provide comfort and sympathy and solace to his friends. Friend, can you live this morning with God's delays and mystery? Or are you one of these people that likes to have every single thing nailed down in your life? Every single detail. Are you a spiritual control freak? Can you live with delay and mystery? That's really, I think, what Jesus was asking the sisters to do. But Jesus hadn't forgotten, and Jesus did care for that family. And in verse 7, he said to his disciples, "Let us go back to Judea." Well, of course, if you look back in the previous chapter, you'll see the last time they were in Judea, they got ran out of town almost, and Jesus almost got stoned. Don't buy into this gentle Jesus, meek and mild. He's a strong character. It takes courage to be with Jesus and follow Jesus. I'd like to speak to the men that are here. I'll say that again. It takes courage to follow Jesus. Let us go back to Judea. Would you have accompanied him on that journey? Look what Thomas said. Pessimistically, though very commendable. Let's go with him, and we'll die with him as well. Didn't Peter say that just before Jesus went to the cross? Jesus said, let's go back to Judea. He hadn't forgotten about his friend Lazarus, and Jesus hasn't forgotten about you or your situation, friend. The delay is meant to show the magnitude of the miracle that's coming. Hold on. I'm going to skip down to verse 11 here. After Jesus had said this, he went on to tell his disciples, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I'm going there to wake him up. And this next few verses are just carry on the story that we see from time to time in the Gospel of John, where the disciples and nearly everybody seems to misunderstand what Jesus is meaning and where Jesus is going. So Jesus had to tell them in verse 14, Lazarus is dead. Both myself and Pastor Michael had to take funeral services this week. It's an important part, obviously, of a pastor's remit. And it's not an easy thing to stand up and have and say the last human words over a person's life. But I'll tell you one thing. It is much easier when the person has lived life well, when they're reconciled with God and with their family and with their friends. Verse 15, I think, is the key verse here. And Jesus said, for your sake, I am glad I was not there in Bethany. For death could have had no hold on Lazarus in the presence of Jesus. No thing is death in the presence of Jesus. So that you may believe. Friends, sometimes through the circumstances of your life, God is going to test your faith to see not if it's going to fail, but because he wants it to succeed. And he will bring out of those difficult circumstances, if you allow him, a greater faith, a more powerful faith, a more confident faith, a more hopeful faith than if you first hadn't gone through those circumstances. Jesus waited for his sake, for Lazarus' sake, for the sisters' sake, for the disciples' sake, and anyone else who had heard or listened to Jesus, those who were hostile to him, those who were friendly to him, he waited for their sake to provide one more great evidence of his divine power and love before he went to the cross. And Thomas's words in verse 16 are also very commendable. Let us also go with him so that we may die. I've realized through the last 5 or 6 years of my life, both through seminary training and through worship services and through doing ministry, you know, it was kind of funny. I realized, or began to realize, really how sick I was on the inside. That may seem like a bit of an irony or an anomaly, but it was actually true in my experience. I don't think over the last 5 or 6 years I've cried as many tears as I have done. Guess it takes a while, doesn't it, for God to get through to hard hearts. But I am thankful that during those times when I've had to face myself and when I've also had to be encouraged again by looking at Jesus, I would encourage you too as well, because God will provide the miracle. God is faithful and powerful. But I also realize as well that there's a part for me to play as well. It's kind of like this. I'd sum it up like this in nearly closing here. I found that God does it all, but I also need to do my part. I found in my experience, in all those areas of life that we spoke about, physical, spiritual, emotional, financial, relational, psychological, in all those areas, God can bring and does bring healing in His time and in His way. In fact, I'd say God has done it all, but I had to do my part too. If you realize this morning that you are sin sick, I'd like to encourage you in closing with a verse from Mark chapter 2 and verse 17. Jesus here is calling Levi Matthew to his service. And Jesus says those words to him, as he says to you this morning as well, follow me. Don't follow anyone else, follow me. Levi got up and cooked a nice lunch for Jesus and his friends. And the religious people of the day started murmuring against Jesus. And Jesus said this in Mark 2:17. Jesus says, it's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. I love the way that Jesus just states the obvious. It's not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. And I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. I'd like to give you an invitation this morning. If you realize that there's some part of your life, some part of your existence that needs a resurrection, if you would be willing to stand, because today I'm going to close with a declaration, and maybe you want to join me in this declaration. If you realize that you need Jesus again this morning, if you realize that there's a part of your life that needs a resurrection, I invite you to stand in the presence of Jesus and to ask for that resurrection in that area of your life. I'm going to sing our final song shortly after this, which will be hymn number 569, and the words will be on the screen. I think there's something wonderful when God declares something and when we declare something back. And so if you're willing, if you feel able, repeat this declaration after me and watch God at work, resurrecting again in our lives. So let's pray. Repeat after me. Father God, I admit it. I confess that I am sick. I am sin sick. And my sin is killing me. It's spoiling my life. My condition is terminal. I'm going to die. Jesus Christ, I turn to you. I reach out to you. Save me from my sins. I want to be healthy in all the areas of my life. Jesus, today, I choose to be spiritually healthy. I choose to be mentally healthy. I choose to be physically healthy. I choose to be emotionally healthy. I choose to be financially healthy. And I choose to be relationally healthy. Jesus Christ, I give my life to you. I choose to belong to you. I choose to believe in you. Forgive me for all my sins. Cleanse me from all my unrighteousness. Take me to the cross. Heal me. Resurrect me. And I will give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory. In Jesus' name, amen.